Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to give me what I need right now, Lord. Give me, grant me utterance to speak. Lord, we know your word is life. So, Lord, speak through me today. Reach through me in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the Lord, who had a tendency to be timid, who was a shy individual. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God within you. This is something that you need to do. God deposits the gift within you, Timothy, but I'm telling you that you need to stir it up. Because he goes on to say in the next verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you and I are likewise to stir up the gift of God that's within us. That's a deliberate action on our part. It's by an act of faith that we activate the power of God in us so that we can bear fruit. Because the fruit that is acceptable to God is the fruit that God produces in our lives. Are you hearing me? And so what people need is Christ flowing out of us. Amen. They need to touch the Lord. And God will use us as a vessel through whom he will touch others. Amen. But sometimes, you know, we can become like a stagnant pond where there's very little movement. God doesn't want us to sit soaking sour. He wants us to be fresh, a refreshing spring. Amen. And so in order to do that, we have to be very deliberate to keep the supply of oil to the lamp. Because the Lord provides the oil, but our responsibility as a royal priesthood is to keep the supply of oil to the lamp. Can you say amen? And the priesthood also have to trim the wick, amen, so that it would burn brighter. And so the Lord works in our hearts. He prunes us. He rearranges things. He sets things in order. But our responsibility is to be open and yielded and willing to allow him in to every area of our hearts, of our lives. And so sometimes because of hurts, even past hurts, and we've been wounded by people that might have been an authority in our lives, we have a tendency to shut down and protect ourselves. We don't want to become vulnerable because we're afraid we'll be hurt again. But when it comes to the Lord, how many know you cannot do that? You have to trust him. You have to know that God is good. He's always good. He only has good for his children. He's a good father. He wants to give good gifts to his children. Amen. So if you ask him for something, he's not going to give you a demon. Amen. He's going to give you something good. And so you got to open your heart and trust the Lord because he is the most trustworthy. The day that the Holy Spirit came in, we were born of the Spirit of God. You know, some believers are not aware of that there is a Holy Spirit. You know, they believe Father, Son, and Holy Bible, but they don't ever talk about or speak on or think about, you know, the Comforter, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit that Jesus poured out upon his people, his church. Amen. And it's very important because he's the one who comes to teach us. He's the one who comforts us. He's the one who guides us. He's the one that gives us wisdom. Everything that we have need of comes from the Spirit of the Lord. And so we have to have hearts that are open and receptive because God wants his people alive. He wants us activated for him. And guys, we can't sit around and hope and wait for some golden day when an angel is going to appear out of nowhere and all of a sudden everything is going to be better. Are you hearing me? You know, some people are sitting around waiting for something to happen. And other people say, you know what? I'm tired of just sitting here by the pool. I'm going to jump into the pool. I'm watching other people in the pool. Amen. They're getting refreshed. And here I am sitting on the side, wilting in the sun. Amen. I got to get in there where everybody else is at. And that's in the river of God's glory. Amen. We got to move it with him and in him. God wants to refresh. He wants to revive. He wants to bring us to full flame. He wants to activate us so that we can become fruitful. We can bear fruit. So just because you receive the power of God, It does not necessarily mean that it's active in your life. There are many people that come to an altar. I remember 25 years ago, I went down to an altar and received the Holy Ghost. Prayed in tongues. Well, what have you been doing since then? You know, see, you can receive the gift of God, but what are you doing with what God has already invested in you? And a lot of times we're asking God to do for us what He's told us to do in His name. So we've got to be in that place of readiness and responsive to the promptings of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord's going to interrupt your TV show. Oh, my. He's going to interrupt your plans, whatever you had planned to do, because He wants you to get a set apart with Him. Amen. Have a time with Him. You need to be listening to God's voice, because when God is calling you, amen, He's given you an opportunity to receive something eternal from Him, and also something that's going to not only benefit you, but it's usually for the benefit of somebody else. So don't ignore that voice of the Lord when He's prompting you to get set apart, to put aside the toys, amen? It's time to grow up and become spiritual adults, and we have responsibilities, amen? We're ambassadors, we're representing the interests of our Father, and so we need the grace that our Father supplies us for the journey, amen, ahead. And so we need to stay awake. Stay awake, stay alert, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings light through the Word. So the Holy Spirit can be dormant in your life unless you activate the power of God. Yeah. That's why you have some people that at one time they were alive. They were excited about the Lord. They couldn't wait to get into church. They couldn't wait to go to the next meeting. They were looking through the Word everywhere and just couldn't get enough, because they were healthy and they were hungry and they were growing. Come on. And then something happens in life, and this happens in life, and another distraction comes up and another responsibility comes up, and all of a sudden you find yourself being so distracted that all of a sudden, without realizing it sometimes, you're losing your passion. You've lost your zeal. You've lost that fire you once had. Well, you know, God said, the Lord said, that they had left their first love. He didn't say you lost it. He said you left it. And so what we need to do is go back and rediscover what we had in the Lord. You left your first love. And so, smoking flax, an ember, is all that remains sometimes, amen? You're on IV spiritual drip. You're barely getting through. God says, I don't want you just get through. I don't want you just barely make it. I want you to receive all the grace, all the help that I'm willing to give you. If you'll set yourself apart for me, come to me, make the sacrifice, amen, to the natural things so that you may receive the eternal spiritual things and be refilled, be renewed, be strengthened, amen, be restored back to the fellowship that you once enjoyed with the Lord, and the hunger and the thirst, the desire for the things of the kingdom become your priority again. Oh, I can't wait. I want more. God, what's next? Where's the awe? Where's the wonder? As a child would come into this world and all of a sudden, Mom, you know, they're 2 years old. Some of you got 2 year old around that age, right? What are they doing? What's this? What's that? Oh, really? How interesting. They have a heart that's exploring, that's searching, that's seeking, that's asking, that wants to know. Isn't that right? To the point where it irritates us. But you know, the Father's never irritated by His children asking Him. Why? Because He wants you to know. He said, if you seek, you'll find. God wants us restored to life, to fellowship, to renew. Be restored, yeah. Remember Elisha, again, I'm just going to give you a little review. Elisha activated the gift of God, right? By faith, when he struck the water, and he said, where is the God of Elijah? He had to take up the mantle. He had to strike the water. Amen. and declare, where is the God of Elijah? Before there was a miracle. So it took an action of faith, an act of faith. So it's faith and what God has given you and God has promised you that activates the power of God in you. In other words, you can ask God for a gift. You can ask God for something. Amen. He's a good father and he wants to give it to you. But we have to receive it by faith. In other words, when you ask, you should believe in your heart that you receive it. So when you ask, thank him that you already have it. Just start thanking the Lord. That's why Thanksgiving is so powerful. Lord, thank you that you've already taken care of this. Thank you that this need is already taken care of. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to worry about that anymore because you've already taken care of it. I'm not seeing it quite yet, but I'm thanking you in advance because I know you're going to take care of this too. By faith. And Thanksgiving is our way of expressing our gratitude in faith that God has taken care of the matter because we cast our cares upon him. The enemy just wants to dump it back on you, you know. 5 minutes later, he's there to offer it back to you. You say, no, thanks, devil. I'm not receiving it back. Lord, thank you that I'm free from this. So the people of Jesus' day, they asked him what they must do to do the works of God. What are we to do to carry out what God requires, in other words? In John 6:28, they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Because you and I are naturally inclined to work for wages. You know, that you have to get out and work and earn something. And that is good. God expects us to go out and earn wages. Can you say amen? In the world. In the world. But Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Why? Because they're saying, well, what deed can I do or what action can I take to do the work of God? He says that you believe in him whom he sent, whom the Father has sent. In other words, he's saying, this is the work of God that you believe me, that you believe my word, believe what I'm telling you. That's what God requires. That's what pleases God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. Are you hearing me? So he's saying, I want you simply to put all the heaviness of the burdens and the attempts to somehow earn credit with God or be good enough or holy enough in yourself and all these things that we can get caught up in. And have you worked enough? Have you labored enough yet to be right with God? And all these things that the people were used to being put on them, that you have to do all these rules and all these things in order to be acceptable to God. And Jesus said, I want you to come to me and rest. I want you to just set all that aside and come to me. Amen. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hallelujah. And I want you to listen to my word now. I want you to believe me when I speak to you because I want to speak to you and I want to tell you what your purpose is, who you are and who you are in this world. You see? It's a living relationship. It's a relationship with the living God. That's all about. And when you are in relationship with somebody, me and my wife have been married a long time now. How many years? I can't even remember. 39 now? We're getting close to the 40-year mark. I know I don't look a day over 20, but that's... You say, boy, is he delusional. But we've been together a long time. We know each other. We know what pleases one another. We've got a relationship together, amen? And so when you love somebody, you want to serve them out of love because you simply love that person. You know, I'm going to cook with this knucklehead again. No, you do it because you love, right? When you are in love with somebody, then you are willing a willing vessel, right, to serve one another. Come on, guys, when you're dating your wife, right, you go out of your way. You'd cancel all your plans because I got a date with this this beautiful chick. See, a wise man studies the answer, right? Yeah. I was going to say babe, but I'm dating myself with that too, right? But so anyways, you would do whatever you needed to do to make sure that you had time available to be with the one that you love, not because you had to, but because you wanted to. Do you understand tasting and knowing and seeing how good God is? The more that you really get to know Him, the more that you love Him. And as you draw closer to Him, amen, and rekindle the fire within you, that passion for the Lord, for His presence. Are you hearing me? You will come to a place where out of love you will serve Him, not because you have to, but because I get to. Because I want to. Amen. I want to be a vessel for Jesus. I want to love Him back the rest of my life. And so I serve my wife, not because I have to. Isn't that right, honey? Say amen. Because I want to. And this is where God's heart is that He wants family, He wants children. Amen. And not just servants that are working for Him. He wants people to walk with Him, to do life with Him. And as you're doing life with Him, there are times you'll just know what His desire is, what His heart is. And because you love the Lord, you're willing to do it, whatever it is. A good husband, a good wife, amen, a good husband will lay down his life for his wife out of love. Amen? No greater love hath any man than this, said a man would give his life for a friend. But are we willing to go all the way with Jesus? Are we in love with Jesus like we should be? To where it's out of love and gratitude that we serve Him and not out of obligation? Because if you're doing it out of obligation, you're doing it with the wrong motive. And it means that there's a disconnect somewhere. You know, as a Christian, we can get so caught up in service that we miss the God that we're serving. It's no longer about the Lord. It's along about the church and this thing that I'm doing and that thing that I got to do. Are you hearing me? And you can lose your passion for the Lord in busyness. God doesn't want us just busy doing good things. He wants us walking with Him and doing the things that He tells us to do. And not because we have to, but because we want to and we get to. All right. In John 7:38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me." That's the same word, by the way. When in John 6:29, where He says that you believe in Him, it's the same word. Put your trust, your faith, your confidence in. He who puts their faith, their confidence, their trust in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will what? Flow rivers of living water. So again, a person can do many good works, but yet not possess the life of God. So when a person abides in Christ, they abide in life and good works are the result. So when we really believe in Jesus, we will possess the supernatural confidence to exercise our faith in Him. When you're close to God, you have confidence. When I was a kid growing up in school, like we all had that time, right? That season, that time of hell on earth, I guess you could call it for some of us. But you're going through school and you're out on the playground and sometimes a bully comes up. It's good to have backup. I'm going to look for my friend that's bigger than they are, you know. Say, hey, man, come over here and give me a hand, you know. But what would happen is you'd have confidence. All right, that you've got someone with you that's going to watch out for you, that's going to take care of you, that's going to protect you. Are you hearing me, somebody? When you get close to the Lord, there is a supernatural confidence that will come that will give you the ability to do things that naturally you would never even consider. Naturally, you would never go out and speak to a stranger. Naturally, you wouldn't go and lay hands on somebody and expect them to be healed. Are you hearing me? Naturally, you wouldn't get up in front of a crowd maybe and preach a sermon. Mm-hmm. But by the grace of God, and by the confident assurance that comes through the knowledge that He is with me and that we are close and me and Jesus are tight. Amen. And me and Jesus, amen, can beat down any devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. There are Christians that are afraid to turn the light off at night. Are you hearing me? God doesn't want us in fear. God wants us in confidence that our God is with us. Our God is for us. Get close to Jesus. Get close to Him and draw into Him, into His heart, into His love. And you'll have a perfect peace. You'll have a perfect love. There won't be any torment of fear in that. You can walk with a fullness of confidence in your God. Faith comes from the Lord. Amen. That confident assurance, because I'm close to God, He's with me. And we can do it together. So when God calls you and assigns you a work to do, you're not doing it on your own. You're saying, okay, Lord, let's do this together. What are we going to do today together? As we acknowledge Him in all our ways. So, when we really believe in Jesus, we will possess the supernatural confidence to exercise our faith in Him. Here's an example when Jesus talked about the mulberry tree in Luke 17:5. He said, "Speak to the mulberry tree." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Have anybody beside myself prayed that prayer? Lord, help my unbelief, increase my faith. But listen how he answered. He said, "If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." So it wasn't a question of getting more faith, but of using the faith they already had. What God wants you to do is utilize what He's already given you. It's not a matter of giving me more, Lord. He said, well, do what I'm asking you to do with what I've already given you. It's not the quantity of faith, it's the quality of faith. It's that we are believing God. Simply as a child would come to his father believing that the father's going to take care of me. The father's going to provide for me. The father's going to give me the grace that I need to do the tasks that I'm assigned to. Amen. When I get up to speak to somebody, amen, I know that the father's going to come through. Amen. Because I ask in the name of Jesus and he's given me a spirit. Amen. So that I can rely upon his grace. And he's always been proven to be faithful. If you step out in the direction of what God's will is for your life, He will be there every time. Not just sometimes, but every time. And a lot of times God's going to test you in the areas of fear where you're going to have to conquer that spirit of fear that giant that will stand between you and what you know God is calling you to. Amen? And if that giant's in your way, you take authority in Jesus' name and you make him move. You speak to that giant, get out of my way. You speak to that mulberry tree. Amen? Be removed. And planted in the sea. It's an action. It requires a word that is spoken. Sometimes it's simply an action. Other times it's an action with a word. To activate the power of God. Hallelujah. So we activate the power of God in our lives by obeying the Lord's commands. What is he telling me? Here's Ezekiel. Remember, God instructed him to speak to the dry bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, as he did what? Prophesied. There was a noise. And suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now, if the prophet Ezekiel, hear me, were only to pray, if he's only going to pray about this, you know, we're good at praying about a lot of things, aren't we? Right? We'll pray about it. Well, you've been praying for 20 years, brother. It's time to do something about it. All right. But if you were only to pray but not prophesy as he was commanded, the Lord's purpose would not have come to pass. So he had to get a word from the Lord. He had to know what the Lord was telling him. Amen. And then he had to act upon it. And he had to actually prophesy, right, to the dry bones. So he was instructed also, remember, to call on the breath of God to come from the four winds and then to breathe into the dead bodies. So Ezekiel spoke to both the breath and the bones, both breath and bones. All right. In other words, he spoke to both the natural and the spiritual. We call on the Lord spiritually, amen? Speak to the natural, bringing the spiritual to the natural, supernatural, all right? Today, we also call on the Lord, don't we? We call on the Lord, the breath of God. And then we speak and we prophesy the message that God gives us to others. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. And so even as we receive the faith that comes, amen, from hearing and receiving the word, so as we speak it to others according to the will of God by the Holy Spirit, it also produces faith in their heart. Hallelujah. You see, God wants everyone in this room activated. Everyone in this room moving in their God-given authority and destroying the works of the devil. Today, we are also called to call on Him to speak to the natural as well. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Bones be healed. Eyes be healed. Ears be healed. Knees be healed. Back be healed. We speak to it. Amen. Remember when Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, He first called on the Father. Father, I thank You that You hear me and that You always hear me. But for the sake of those who are standing around today, I'm saying this to help their understanding so that they can understand that this is how it works. First, He calls on the Father. And then the next thing you know, Jesus says, Lazarus, what? Come forth. So He calls on the Father, Spirit, and then He speaks to what? The dead body, the natural. Lazarus, come forth. And He raised him from the dead. And now why did He do that? He demonstrated to us that He's the resurrection and the life. And we have in Christ Jesus, amen, the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. A life-giving Spirit dwells within us, amen. We have the resurrection power of God in us, but it must be activated by our faith and what we know God is calling us to do. It's not enough just to receive something and have something, possess something. We need to be good stewards over that investment and start to use what God has given us. Start putting it to work. Amen. Remember Moses, of course, Moses, what did he need to do? He needed to extend his rod over the sea. Exodus 14:16, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now God is telling Moses to start exercising the authority that He already gave him. It was already in his hand. So you receive the gift of God by asking, amen, and by faith receiving, and then it's activated by an act of faith and obedience to what God had called you to do. So we don't have to keep asking God for what we already possess. Again, we need to activate the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir it up. Remember that word means as bellows on a flame. All right? And sometimes, guys, we'll find ourselves where it seems like there's only an ember left. But praise God, the light's still there. Amen? And you just need to get the fan on that ember. Amen. You need to get the breath of God breathing in your life again. You need God's moving in your life again. Amen. And so we need to be very active and say, Lord, I come to You because I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm desperate for Your presence. I know without You, I can do nothing, but I can do all things through You because You give me strength. And Lord, I'm asking You for the anointing that I may be about Your business and that I may go around destroying the works of the devil, that I can set every captive free in Jesus' name. Because I believe that all things are possible to them that believe, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. Lord, if we're going to say help my unbelief, Jesus says start activating what you already have. Stir it up. Put it to work. Speak to that mountain that stands in your way. Speak to that giant that stands in your way. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And our tongue needs to be aligned with God's will, not just what we want. Here's another one, the widow with the jar of oil. 2 Kings chapter 4, right? Elisha, the widow needed to pour the oil she already possessed in order to receive more. So it required faith in the word of the Lord. Here it is, 2 Kings 4 and verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. What did she do? She moved in obedience to the command of the prophet of God. Amen. Who brought the vessels to her, and she did what? She poured it out. What did she need to do? She needed to first gather the vessels, the empty vessels, and then she needed to pour out what she already possessed. She had to activate what was already in her hand. What God had already invested in her, she had to be a good steward over that. And she had to be willing to pour it out, to give. And I've discovered that you don't lose what you give in the name of Jesus. And now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. In other words, once there was no longer an empty vessel, there's no longer a place to pour. Now, how many believe there are empty vessels everywhere today? There are empty people everywhere. Amen. They don't possess the life of God in them like you and I do. But God is looking for those who will go in his name and pour out his life into others. God's looking for laborers. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Are you willing to go for Jesus and the power and the authority that he's invested in you? Are you willing to take whatever it is that you have, amen, and be a good steward over that and invest it in the kingdom, amen, that together we might grow up and become healthy and strong, amen, a temple of God, hallelujah. Acts 1:8, you all know this, but you shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, what, to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now have you received the Holy Spirit? Since you believe. Remember the believers at Ephesus didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They had been baptized in John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. So they had a heart because John was pointing to Jesus, wasn't he? When he baptized, and he says, you need to look to the one that's coming after me. You need to look to him, the Lamb of God. Amen. But he was preparing the way through repentance. He was baptizing them into repentance. In other words, they were saying, we are coming here to forsake our sinful ways, to forsake our paths, that we might walk in the paths of the Messiah. And so then when they had heard about the Holy Spirit, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then as the apostle laid his hands upon them, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God wants every one of his people baptized with the Holy Spirit. He wants us empowered. Amen. And just because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work through your life. You have to activate the gift. You have to stir up the gift by obedience to the voice of the Lord. And as we step out for him, he always confirms his word with accompanying signs. There will be some type of good fruit that will come out of your obedience to the Lord every time, not just sometime. But God would never call you to do something without backing it up, all right? He's faithful. So God doesn't want us operating in a place of predictability. Well, let me sit down and figure this out on paper. See if this would work out. You know, when God calls you to a ministry, you just need to say yes. Yes, Lord. The best thing we can do, amen, is be yes people when it comes to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. And not sit down and, well, I hear what you're saying, God, but let me sit down and figure out whether I can do this or not. How many know that it ain't going to be you, but it's going to be God working through you and you cooperating with him in the work. So that's what happens. Some people are waiting, amen, for God to do something when he's saying, I want you to do what I've called you to do in my name. If you step out of my name, then I will confirm my word and you'll bear fruit. So he wants cooperation, cooperating together with him in his work. And I find that when I'm in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, it is not heavy, burdensome, tiring. You won't get burnt out, all right? I promise you. You'll be refreshed. You'll be revived. Because his word is life. When you are abiding in the Word, abiding in His life, you are alive. When you are moving with the Spirit of the Lord, you are moving in life. And He is a life-giving Spirit. God wants His people to be refreshed, to be awakened. Amen. To be revived, brought back to life again. God wants to take the bellows, amen, to that coal and fan it back into flame again in your life. Hallelujah. To restore you to the place where you once walked, where your whole life was about Jesus. Hallelujah. Where you're hungry because you're healthy and you want more because you've tasted and now you see how good the Lord is. You know, I like pizza. But pizza doesn't like me too much, but I like pizza. And you know, once in a while I'll have pizza. And because I like it. And man, you know, back in New England, man, we've got the New York pizza. That's the best pizza, you know. It's hard to find good pizza out here, but man, they got some good pizza back there, you know. A lot of Italians back in that area. So, what was I trying to say? When you taste and see that the pizza's good, all right. But you know, you may not have had pizza for a while. And so you rely upon your imagination. Yeah, I remember what that was like. But how many know that your imagination is never as good as the actual eating of the pizza? And so what God is saying is, you know, it's okay to remember the good times. What used to be and the things that you did and reflect on how I've worked and moved in your life. Amen. But I'm offering you something fresh and new today to do. Amen. With me. Together we'll do it. And as you're tasting and you're seeing and you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you'll find that even God will give you the desires of your heart. And it does mean your heart too. But listen, guys. We're not allowed to allow fear and doubt to paralyze us. I talked about this last week. Fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear of men. It can defeat you. You're never going to see a miracle in your life if you play it safe. If you operate from the place of predictability. Logically, this is a doable thing. But God's now telling me to do something that's not in agreement with my natural understanding. And I don't know how this is going to work. But I know that the Lord is telling me to do something. And so I have to conquer that fear of embarrassment, that fear of failure. And I have to trump that with faith that God's going to back up His word. He's going to do what He said He would do. And in faith, I'm going to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You and I'm going to move in faith. Amen. And when you move in agreement with what God has told you to do, it's not a maybe, it's a will be thing. It will happen. So you can miss your calling, playing it safe. Staying in the place of predictability of the natural reason and the understanding. And well, guys, I'm not opposed to doctors. Okay, let me just get this straight right now. There's times when I've gone to the doctor. There's times God will tell you to go to the doctor. His ways are not our ways, okay? But we can't put God in our own box of understanding and say it's always got to be this way or that way. But what we need to do is be responsive to His promptings in our lives and obey what He's telling us to do, even about our health, for example. And I know that there's times when we can get so used to just going to doctors that we quit going to Dr. Jesus. Are you hearing me, somebody? And believing Him for a miracle in our health. Because we got used to it. I know even in this nation, back in the 1800s and the early years, they might have had a traveling doctor that went around, you know, on a circuit. But a lot of times, there was no doctors. We're going to have to get close to Jesus. You know, we're going to have to start calling on Him. We're going to have to fast and pray and seek the Lord. Because we need a miracle. And when the miracle comes, And they had many miracles because they were not trusting just in doctors. They were trusting in God who can do the impossible. Guys, if I'm going to go to a doctor, it's because I'm dragging on all fours and barely get out. Are you hearing me? Because I'm going to stand in there and say, Lord, I'm believing you. I'm trusting you. I'm not suggesting that you do that. But I am saying that I know my God is able to heal. All right? My God can do anything. Hallelujah. And I am his servant. He knows the number of my days. I'm in the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to trust the Lord with my life. That's it. I'm not going to walk around in fear. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Hallelujah. How many know God is smiling on us today? God is with us today. But we don't operate by predictability, but we operate by faith. Faith in God. That's what pleases him. That we believe him. You know, when Moses was instructed to raise the rod over the sea, you know, it was an act of faith. He had to believe that something was going to happen. Because that's what the Lord instructed him to do. Again, key is being instructed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not just getting these formulas and say, well, if you use this formula, it should work this way. No. What is God telling you to do? I just want to make that clear. But the typical believer would say, Lord, you divide the Red Sea. Or, Lord, you kill the giant. Or, Lord, you pour the oil. Are you seeing this? Somebody had to pour the oil. Somebody had to lift the rod. Somebody had to take the sling and the stone and deal with the problem. Are you hearing me? And that's what God is calling us to do, is to obey his instruction, to step out in faith, knowing that your God is able to deliver your enemy into your hand. Amen. That there's nothing that should stand between you and your destiny, because God has called you, amen, to be a servant of his. And wherever he is, that's where you are. Amen. If you're with Jesus, you've got backup. You've got everything you need. Hallelujah. To accomplish the mission of God for your life. So the church has got to stop waiting around for God to do what he has already told us to do in his name. Cast out demons, right? Heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. We're not to pray and ask God to move the mountain. We are to say to the mountain, get out of my way. That's what Jesus said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, I say, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will speak to the mulberry tree. Yeah. In other words, my confidence is not in me, but me in agreement with the Lord. Amen. Coming into harmony with what he wants, speaking what he's speaking. And when you speak what he's speaking, there is life. There is effectiveness. Because the word of the Lord will never return void. If you and I are willing to yield ourselves to allow God to work and speak through us, you will find that his word does not return void. Even if you're not seeing any immediate fruit, you need to know and have confident assurance that even as you're pouring into others, as you're pouring into these children, amen, even your children, hallelujah, that the day will come when they will not depart from it. Because we're doing it in faith that God's promises are sure. Everything he promises is true. Matthew 21:21. So Jesus and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Hallelujah. This is a year, I believe, where God wants his people to move forward. Amen. Enough sitting, amen, in the same place in complacency. All right. It's time to get out of the gerbil wheel of cycles. Amen. And move forward with God. Grow. Expand. Amen. Believe beyond your limited ability that God can do immeasurably. Right. Above and beyond anything we could ask or think. According to what? His mighty power at work within us. He can do exceedingly abundantly above. That's our God. Now's the time. Now is the time. Stir up the gift of God within you. Come to church as often as you can. Pray every day. Get into the word. Be obedient. Amen. to what God is telling you to do on a daily basis. Start practicing. Start applying what you already have received. Amen. Start utilizing the gifting that God has given you in little steps of obedience every day. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's a journey. It's a day by day, step by step process. But God's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for those who will trust Him. Those who will have faith in Him. That's what pleases Him. That somebody's not going to allow their own fears and their own insecurities and their own unbelief to hinder what He wants to do through them. They're going to lay that aside and say, I don't got time for that. Not bowing down to that. Not bowing down to fear. Not bowing down to the fear of man. Hallelujah. Get close to Jesus, amen, and in Him there's perfect love. You'll have a confident assurance. You won't be afraid of people when you're close to the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Because He gives you a supernatural boldness. See, there's a lot of people in the world that are bold, but inside they're trembling. Are you hearing me? And we can go around with your bumper sticker that says, no fear. Yeah, okay. I was there once, no fear. I was trying to convince myself there was no fear. And outwardly, maybe I've convinced a few people, but inwardly I was shriveling up. Because what you need is the inner strength that the Holy Spirit will supply you to give you a supernatural inner confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. So that you can be bold outwardly, authentically. Amen. And not just be an irritation. So this is not a time to fall into complacency. Now is the time to rise up in your God-given authority and advance His kingdom in the earth. It's time for the church to arise. Hallelujah. It's time for us to arise and shine. This is our season. This is our time to shine. This is your time to shine. The time is clicking by, the days, the hours, the moments. Come on. God's given you an opportunity today to commit your life to Him, to renew your vows to Him, to pick up, amen, that mantle that He's given you and strike the water and speak, amen, and be bold, be faithful to obey the Lord and His instructions. God wants you to be at full flame. He wants me to be at full flame. He doesn't want us to be anemic. Amen. Spiritually speaking, He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your hope, your strength, your confidence is in your God who is with you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will be near those who call upon Him in truth.